that I'm set for the sins on my head. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Please believe me when I say I ain't never going back to my old way. Oh no, always, oh no.
Episode 213 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by for some hoops talk. Plenty to talk about, but unfortunately don't have loads and loads of time. So gotta have to keep it short, at least short on the talking part. I do have a long interview, but that's a nice one. And so otherwise, we'll keep it short. Just before we get into the action, let you know how you contact the show. I'm available on Hein News at HeinNews. That's Hein News. The website is heinnews.com, heinnews@gmx.de. And there's the Facebook group, Taking the Charge Podcast. Just put that in the search, Taking the Charge Podcast, and you will find us there. And you could, of course, go to iTunes and rate and review the show. And also on Patreon, you could pledge your support to the podcast, patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. And so those are the ways to contact the show. EuroLeague tips off tonight. In a matter of hours, and I said last week that I was going to try to have somebody from maybe EuroLeague Adventures on, whatever, to talk about the, but the EuroLeague just didn't fit with my schedule, and we'll have somebody on after a couple of weeks to get their opinions of what they think. Before I will kind of give you my picks, let you know who I think might go through. Obviously tonight is Real Madrid and Olympiacos in the tip off of the year. The season tips off in Madrid. My playoff teams, obviously 16 teams, half of the field reaches the playoffs, and then they do best of five, and the four winners of the playoffs then go on to the final four in Istanbul in May. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say CSKA Moscow, Fenerbahce, Real Madrid all make the playoffs. Big surprise there. Also have Barcelona, Olympiacos, Panathinaikos. I'm going to go with Bamberg, and I'm going to go with Dasha Faka. I think David Blatt will come up with enough solutions and make it to the playoffs. Final four. I'm just going to say CSKA Moscow, Fenerbahce, Real Madrid. Again, going out on a limb. And, I think I am going to, go ahead and put, Olympiacos in there. So Olympiacos, the usual suspects, CSKA Moscow, Fenerbahce, Real Madrid, and Olympiacos are my four Final Four teams. And I got to have to say, CSKA Moscow wins the title. And again, over Fenerbahce. So that's my picks for what they're worth. Basketball Champions League tips off the 18th, so that's a Tuesday, so before our next show next week. And so they go and have a – their competition system is a little bit less it's a little harder to pick. They have from the 40 teams, 24 make it to the playoffs and an elimination round. And then 16 teams play in the playoffs, home and away, and then the two rounds of playoffs, 16 teams, and then the final four is in end of April, and it's kind of hard to really pick. Kind of hard to pick the final four of this tournament. There's some teams that I'm not really sure how strong they'll be. The French teams, the Italian teams, the Adriatic League teams. But I'm gonna go and surprise some people. First of all, I'm gonna say Strasbourg, which might not be a surprise, but they do have new head coach. And Henrik Detman takes over from French coach Vincent Collet. But they have a pretty nice group of players with Eric Murphy, Matt Howard, AJ Slaughter, Mamadou Jaite, and also Irving Walker. And also have some good young kids, including Frank Ntilikina. So I'm going to pick them to reach the Final Four. I'm going to pick Besiktas. I like their coach, Sarica, who was the head coach at Pinar when he brought them pretty far. They have nice group of they won't be deep, and they're going to be, if they get hurt. If they get some injuries, they're going to be really hurt bad. DJ Strawberry, Michael Roll, Kyle Weems, Kenan Sepahi, Vladimir Stimac. That's a nice, Michael Thompson. That's a nice group of, not deep, obviously, like I said, Earl Clark, but comes over from China. But I do think that I like the coach, and I think that they're going to get that done. The other two teams might be a little bit surprising. I'm going to go Sabona. I think unless they lose Ante Zizic to the NBA, unless Boston says, kid, you're just killing it too much. We need to get you over here now. But you look at him, you look at Elijah Johnson, you look at Slavica, you look at Šiško, and I really think that Ante Zizic is just going to be a monster, and I think that's going to be enough also with the leadership of Nebojša Joksimović. They probably won't even make it out of the regular season, but so I'm going to pick them mainly just because I think that Antezis is going to kill everybody. And the other one, I'm going to also stay in the Balkans. I'm going to go with Megalex. they're a little bit struggling right now, but I think this team is going to be really, really good, and it's really young. But I just think that they're going to just eventually they're just gonna just totally hit. You have Okyon Yaramaz, you have Radis Zagarovic, Kostya Mishidi, Alfa Kaba, Marko Tejic, and it's just a group of really talented young players, and if they can survive, get at least win their home games, and they could get past their group stage, the regular season. If they could get out of the regular season, then I think they'll have done their part, and then it's just going to kind of cruise from there. So that's, I think, probably a little bit of a surprise, maybe. But I have faith in the kids, and like I said, I think they're going to really do well. Something tells me that they could also add some players, and if they really need to. So that's what I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go with Mega. So Megalek, Cibona, Strasbourg, and Besiktas. I suppose I have to give a champion. I'm going to say Strasbourg. It's kind of strange. I have kind of a strange to pick Henrik Detman winning the title, but I'm going to do it. Probably way, way off, but it's okay. So Basketball Champions League tips off on Tuesday, October 18th. So Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. All right, interview. Going to... had a long chat with Davide Moretti, whose son Paolo played for a while in Italy. Won believe it was a silver, second place or maybe third place in Eurobasket. Born in Bologna, playing right now in Davide Moretti. Born in Bologna, playing now in Treviso. In the Liga 2, second division, he looks like he's heading to college next season, most likely. But he's in the second division right now. So I had a chance to talk to him. He also played at the under 20 European Championship this past summer as an 18-year-old, 1998. Could, but I don't think he will be playing at the under 18 European Championships in under 18 European Championship in Samsung in December. I doubt that. He's pretty important member of that team in Treviso. But here's my chat with him. Hope you enjoy it, and we will catch you on the other side of that.
Okay, so on the show this week, Davide Moretti, 18-year-old player with Treviso in Liga 2 in Italy. Davide, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm good. We are in pre-championship, so we are a little bit can be more and more squad team. We have. Step ahead every day, and we are a good team. We change a lot in last year, but we can be a really, really good team in this championship.
Looking at Treviso, you guys are in the second division, Liga 2, A2. Maybe expectations for the team this season I suppose probably the biggest goal is to get back up to the Serie A. But expectations for this season?
Yeah, last year we go in the semifinal in our championship. So our goal, our most important goal of this season is do better than the last year. So. Improving every day, improving the one person, each person of our team improve the team. So we are improving, and we're gonna do better of last year, and we wanna go better of semifinal.
Maybe looking at the team, maybe who are some of the guys that because you're 18 and you're still in a phase where you're learning a lot of things. Who are some of the guys who you really kind of look to kind of help in teaching you certain things? Maybe is there a veteran that you're, and the season hasn't started, but in training camp and whatnot?
I have a lot of guard in my position, older than me, with more experience, with a lot of things that they can teach me. And every day since last year, I got the 1 point guard, 2 meters of point guard that was stronger, was athletic more than me. So he teach me a lot. He improved me very, very a lot, and I appreciate it because he know that I have, this is my athleticism, my physical has to be improved. So he helped me a lot, and this year I got another one guard, completely different, more guard, not point guard, but now I'm improving a lot too, because he's really, really good to pull up a shot, to scoring in everywhere. So I have to defend on him, and even he can play me some skills, and I like very much.
Being in Germany, we have a guy coming over from Italy, Marshawn Powell, who you played with last year. Maybe for those who he's come to play at Würzburg, he's actually injured right now. But for those who are in Germany and kind of are wondering what's going to be coming when Marshawn Powell comes to the court, maybe tell us a little bit about him. Saw that he's sort of a high flyer, power forward guy. Maybe talk about him and what it's like to play for him, and what the German fans can expect from Marshawn Powell.
Yeah, Marshawn, I know he's injured, and I wish you the best for come back soon. And he's very, very good player. I like him because he's a very athletic player. Can do front and the back to the basket, whatever he wants. So he's a really, really good, talented player, and he can make shots. He's not his first option, but he can make a shot behind the triple line, but even on the middle range. And he is a very good screener and a roll, and he's a monster dunker. He jumped a lot, so in our last year he was a star in our team. So everyone here in Treviso love him, and I think and I'm sure that every fans in Germany can love him. So I wish him the best, so to come back as soon as possible.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing him. Always like a high flyer guy. You mentioned that you're that you have older guards there working with you on the team. Maybe people know you as a pretty good shooter already. Maybe talk about where you see your game right now. Like we said, you don't turn 19 until March. Maybe just in general, talk about where you're at in your game and what are the things that you're working on. I know you're trying to transition much more to a point guard, but maybe just talk about where you're at in your development.
Yeah, I think I can be both. No, point guard and guard, it doesn't matter. But I think my strength, my first option, I think, is the shoot. I can shoot from three, from pull up, from behind screen. I can shoot everywhere, and I like to do that. And I like to very, very much use pick roll for extra pass on the both sides for my teammates or for the roller. I like very much pick and roll, playing pick and roll, and my first option, my first thing to improve, to work on it is my physical, my athleticism, because I have to improve and I don't know, my left hand, I improved on my left hand since last year, since three times. So maybe last year I was playing more pointer because I had to improve the game for the reaction, the for have everything under control, my team, for lead one team. And the last year was very, very good for me. It was very, very important for me, like improvement, like a point guard. And now this year I'm playing in Premier Championship more like a guard, and I like, because I can improve my very, very, very like a guard this year. So I'm happy for it.
What's the hardest part still for you? I mean, you said you like working with the pick and roll. Imagine defending against the pick and roll is as always difficult, but what would you say is the most difficult part of becoming a point guard?
The most difficult part, point guard.
Yeah. What you sort of see?
In the now, you know, here in Treviso we have a amazing fans, so every time we have the our stadium full of fans. So in the playoff, in the games with really, really good teams, when you have to lead your team in the last time, last minutes of the game, when the game is tied, it's very, very difficult to stay focused and lead your team to do what you want, what the coach wants, what you want, what you think is better. And at that moment, when can win the game. So it's very, very difficult this team, because I was younger, I was 17 years old, and it's not simple, but I like it. So I think was good. I did it very good. So I can do only better, and I'll see.
Maybe talk about this past summer. You had the chance to play at the under 20 European Championship, despite being only 18. Maybe, you know, knowing, you know, you played the whole season, you know, with adults, basically, older players, with and against them. You know, you brought the team to the semifinals of the playoffs. Going up to Finland and playing for Italy there. What was that like for you, some of the things you learned most from that experience?
Yeah, for sure, it was experience like every championship I played that was experience, was for sure for improving, because I ever played a championship with a guy older than me by one year. Never by 2 years, so it was very, very interested for me for understand the physical, the guys older, bigger than me. So was very, very important for me for development, for my development, for my skills, for everything. So I was happy for the coach decision to kick me on the under 20 championship. So I think it was a good championship because we were a very good team, but we played not very, very well in the first half of the tournament, and then we play against Turkey, maybe the best team of that tournament, and we lost, but we learned very, very lot of things. So I think I played much time of point guard for can score my teammate, because my teammate was full of talented player like Sakadori Musin. So I know I had to pass to them, because they were our star. So I know that, and I like to do that.
Maybe obviously you know, Mussini you know, has you know, has drawn a lot of attention for being a really high level player, Flaccatori as well, you know, people like Tote as well. What did you learn from those guys, you know, who are, you know, who, you know, when, you know, were sort of stars already at 18, and now have a different sort of expectation now that they're 20. What kind of things did you learn in that regard, you know, saying, okay, well, they, you know, they went through what you're going through now 2 years ago. What did you learn from them?
Yeah, I am a player like Mussini or Flaccatori, not so much like Tote. But yeah, I learned very, very things, a couple of very things from Mussini and from Flaccatori, because they are similar for me, and they give me some information, some things that I think like a very, very important thing for me, because they have more experience than me. They play an high level and very, very high level. So I'm happy because they helped me, even if I was younger than them. So I'm very, very happy for that, and I appreciate it from them. So.
You were playing in Helsinki at the under 20s. obviously, one of the reasons you played there was because the under 18 European Championship did not take place. It was postponed indefinitely. Maybe your thoughts about that whole experience. You know, being ready and you know, trying to go to a. Trying to get ready for an under 18 tournament, where you guys had high expectations. You knew that was qualifiers for the under 19 World Championship. And then to see that the tournament didn't get played, you know, what's that like for you, to experience all that?
Yeah. At the start, I had my class, Teresa, wanted that I played only one championship, or under 20 or under 18. So the decision was that I had played under 20 championship. So even if the under 18 wasn't participate, I didn't play.
You were not going to play anyhow.
No, yeah, okay. Exactly. And now I don't know, but I don't know where I'm. When they're gonna play the under 18, so but if I will play, I think we have a very good team, because we are in Germany in Albert Schweitzer tournament,
right?
We did very well, and
you guys finished third place there.
Yeah. And we are a good team, so I think we can be good.
Let's move to October 2014. You were 16 years 7 months old when you made your Serie A debut with Pistoia. Maybe Just take us back to that whole time. You know, your coach was your father was there as the coach, and you know, just being at practice every day with him, and then you know, you'd come over from Stella Azzurra the year before. You were at Pistoia with him then, and being able to play in the Serie A, which, you know, growing up, I mean, you were only 16 and a half, so growing up was, you know, yeah, just a few years earlier, that was, you know, always one of your dreams to go there and do that at 16, 7 months.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a dream for me, but I know that if I want to play in Serie A, I had to work, and in that days, in that months before to come on a court on for the first time, I work a lot. I work a lot every day. So my dad see that. My dad never give me something without work. And I know him. So I was very happy. I was excited. I don't know how I was, because it was a very, very amazing night, because for my first time I was coached up with the best team of the Italian league, and I know are very, very, very good players. So, but for that time, I know that I have for sure to improve my physical, my athleticism, because they are more strong, they are more fast, they are more athletic. So I have to improve the reaction, the first of my feet, everything. So was very, very a good year for me, because I train every day with the elite player, the best player on Italy, and the American guy, but even the Italian guy were very, very good player, and I learned a lot from this guy, and I appreciate it for they work on me.
Who was that first game against? Do you remember?
Cremona.
Cremona. Okay. Maybe playing for your father. You know, it was just that 1 year. You know, you went down to Treviso before last season. Just being, you know, with your father that whole year. You know, you've been with him your entire life, obviously. You know, playing with, you know, for him as a coach. What did you think about that? What was that experience like for you?
We have some problem on the court for sure, like every coach. And at home, I have the possibility to understand or to talk about the problem. Sometimes we talk about it, and we say, okay, no problem. And the other day, we go on a court and we work again. It was a very, very good year, because my father, I like my father like a coach, and I like everything that he has, and because for sure he played, he was a player, so I know that he knows the game. Maybe some coaches don't know what. If they didn't play like a player, maybe sometimes they don't know what the coach say. But I like very much the thing of my father like a coach, and was very, very good to practice every time with my father, and appreciate it. But last year I was in Treviso because I want to go a step ahead with another coach and see what can be different. And growing up at the same time. So I'm happy for it, and I'm improving a lot even this year. So I'm happy for my decision.
What do you still learn from him? What do you, you know, you, like you said, you wanted to take another step. You know, I don't know how much you talk to him. You know, I'm sure at least a few times a week, at least, I would imagine. What kind of things are you still learning from him?
From my father, right?
Yeah, from your father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was more guard than point guard. So sometimes he gave me some keys, some skills, some information to how to defend on screen, over the screen, and how to be ready against the pick and roll, for example. I never play against the containment, because in the junior league, in every team I played, I always play switch on the pick and roll. And I couldn't play flat off pick and roll, because I was too far from the screener, I was too far from the bowler, and I was very bad. And the first thing he teach me that is the how to defend a pick and roll situation. And now I'm a good defender. I think I'm a good defender, and I think it's a very good step that he gave to me. And for example, what do over the screen like offense? One time the screen was set. What do sure pass the roller, the empty and the full side, work pass, or work on my left side, and was a very good year. I repeat, my father know what was my strongness, what I can do very well, and what I can't do. So I work a lot on it, and I was very happy for it.
You're born in Bologna, and you know, that was a time when, you know, Bologna was you know, was one of the hotbeds of basketball in Italy for sure, but even, yeah, you know, in Europe, you know, they went to Final Fours. You know, Bologna teams went to Final Fours in the EuroLeague. Maybe just talk about growing up in that city. You know, you also had the two teams, you know, there, Virtus and Fortuna. You know, talk about just being in Bologna as a young you know, young little kid who was starting to get interested in basketball, and just having so many great teams and players come in and out of the city.
For sure, Bologna is one of the best city where in Italy we play basketball, and he's an historic place where the basketball. Where the basketball passed, so maybe some player comes from play for Bologna, like Ginobili, or coach Bologna, like Messina, and for a young guy means everything for me. Maybe like Bellinelli play on 42 in Bologna, and play in that city like a young guy, like was him, was very very interested. It was very good. I don't know. There is a lot of people to watch the game, because there is a lot of love for this sport, and maybe then soccer, you know, because in Italy, everyone loves soccer, but I don't know if in Bologna is like that, because basketball is the first thing, I mean, in Bologna, and that's for a young guy playing in a city like Bologna can be a good thing, because everything can be better for you, for every fan can support you, or the coach knows that you can start from Bologna and can be a star. So he's a very good place, Bologna.
You mentioned Ginobili, Bellinelli, you know, Messina on the sidelines. What are some of your favorite memories of basketball growing up, you know, going to games? Yeah, I can imagine that Gregor Fuchsia was one of, you know, like almost like a godfather to you, you know, being with the national team, yeah, and everything else. You know, what were some of your like favorite early moments, you know, with basketball in Bologna? I mean, you know, do you remember a specific game, you know, with Ginobili,
yeah,
or is there anything, you know, what kind of moments do you really remember?
I don't remember. They speak me for a very interesting thing, but I ever talk about it because it was it's funny. I was born in 25 of March, and in that of 1998. And in this date, there was a semifinal, maybe, I think, from Virtus Bologna against 42 de Bologna. And they hit you each other. They hit each other. And my father played against Bologna. And there was a fighting in the court, maybe, against Fuchsia and Myers. So I was born in this evening, and it's funny because my father was here, my mom was here, and was funny, but I was born in that evening where there was a fighting, and it was funny. And,
and now, I mean, now you're in Treviso also, you know, really big, history, with basketball. You know, obviously it's been in the past now, but you know, when you went down there, you went over to Treviso, what were your thoughts about going to Treviso, knowing, you know, kind of the history that there's, there in that city?
Yeah, sure. Treviso is like Bologna. In Treviso, every person, every guy follow the basketball. Even not too much like the year before, because Treviso is not more Benetton, but is another club, because Benetton closed. Benetton now follow only rugby, and maybe there is a few people that follow basketball, but from 7,000 people now there is 6,000 people that follow every game. So there is not a big difference, but in the city, if I walk in the city, I saw some fans and a lot of fans, and they say hi to me, and that's good for me, because I'm young and I see how much love they have for this game, and you can breathe that, because it's a really important thing, because if you have a great supporter, and you can play better. So that's a good thing in Treviso that I like.
You know, for years, and you know, almost a decade, Siena was, you know, the the superpower with Montepaschi, Siena, you know, winning all the championships, yeah. going to even Final Fours in the EuroLeague. Right now, it's kind of Milano, who's, you know, has had the history and then was sort of down for a long time, and is now back on top. And Reggio Emilia, those are kind of the two powers right now. What do you think about the landscape?
Sorry, I understand because your voice even go.
Okay, okay.
You make the other question.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Now it's it used to be Siena was the big champion, and right now it's Milano and Reggio Emilia. Yeah. What do you think about the state of basketball in Italy right now? You know that Emilia's there now, but you know there's other teams. Sassari is kind of up there as well. What do you think about the health of the game in Italy right now?
I think there is a big team like Milano or Venice more than the other, but because Milan, even Milano has a very historic club, because they won the best title in Italy, and it's a very good team that can win the EuroLeague, but it's the best team maybe there is in Italy. And Venice in the last years was growing up a little bit. So for me, Milano and Venice are the best team now we have in Italy. And that's it. This is the question, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, just what your thoughts are on the state of basketball. How healthy do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's okay. That's okay. One of the things. One of the things that's important in a basketball for a country is the youth, you know, to develop players, and we're seeing a lot of Italians go to the United States: Mussini, Oliva, Ioleneo, Akele, Cili. You know, those are some pretty big names for Italian basketball. You know, there's not a lot of chances for these players. You know, why?
Yeah.
Or it seems like that. Why do you think that players from Italy, young players from Italy, are leaving Italy to go to the United States?
Yeah, the first thing that even me think about is that in the first league, for sure, you have not a lot of chance for be a player. You can, yeah, for sure. You train every day with the team, so you improve for sure. But not same train and play again against different players is not same. And in Italy, clubs even coach don't give you this chance. Can be one times, can be two times, but not every game. So the opportunity to go on college is because you can be you can improve every time. You can play maybe not the first year, but even the first year you play in the college more than you can play in the first league in Italy. So I think my teammates, no teammates, my my Italian guy, my friend, comes to the United States for a bad reason, because maybe some clubs don't give them the opportunities, or just for because they wanna dream on the American style. They wanna play in American schools. So I think they did a good choice, because college can be a good opportunity. And in Italy, I repeat, in Italy there is not a lot of clubs that give you a chance for improve like a player. So.
How do you think Italian clubs can change that?
I don't know. Maybe if the club say, "Hey, don't worry. If we lost some games because you put on court some young guy, that's okay." But I don't think the club do that because I don't know. the club say to the coach that they want to win. And the coach say, "If I want to win, the young player can play. I play with two American guys. I play with three 30 years old player with experience, with more physical, and the young guy comes after. The young guys are only for the practice, no, and how they can change that, I don't know. I like to see the change, this change, but I don't know.
You're also considering to move to the U.S. to go to college. You know, yeah. you're somebody who, you know, like we talked about, you had the experience of playing in the Serie A, you know, I would imagine that, you know, after another year here, a good year in Italy, that you could probably be close to getting to a Serie A team, maybe for the 17-18 season, so next season. But still, you're pretty highly considering to go to college. Maybe what are some of your biggest reasons why you want to go over there to the U.S. to play college basketball?
Yeah, I'm considering this option, and I'll decide at the end of this season if I want to move or not. But the best thing is that I can play, because if I can play in a higher level of the NCAA college tournament, if there is some college give me this opportunity, for sure. I think I can go. I will go. And because me, the American style is completely different of the European style. So I can grow up a lot even in the college. And I really think about it. Because even if a club here in Italy calls me, but play me like a young guy, I don't like this offer. So I'm really, really think about it, to go to the college and to play, for improve myself, and we'll see.
We've seen your name connected to two schools, two colleges so far, Arizona State and Fordham. Maybe talk about both schools. What makes you interested in both of those schools?
St. John's and Fordham.
Arizona State and Fordham?
Oh, yeah, Arizona State. There was some contact with my father, but now I don't want to think about it. I want to think of my championship, and my father are staying with this college, and they are talking about the program, everything, and I'm happy for that, because maybe there are two very, very good college, and I like that they are talking about my father for me, and but now I repeat, I'm playing here, and I wanna finish well my season, and at the end of the season in June or May, and talk about with this college, and we will see.
So you don't know much about the colleges. It's mainly going with your father, or what is the status on that?
At the moment, no. Maybe my father say everything and know everything. So. But now I say to him that I don't know what college called me or what are the college interested in me. So because I'm focused on my championship, on my season, and at the end I will know everything, and we speak about everything like every year we do at the end of the year, and that's it.
Okay, so you don't even want to know right now, at
what?
Least during. So you don't even want to know right now.
No, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Then why don't you say, you know, if you decide to go to college, then what kind of things do you want? You know, maybe, you know, do you want a specific style of coach? Do you want a specific style of game? Do you know what kind you want? A big school? Do you want with big time players? Do you want a school where it might not be as big, but you're going to play more? You know, what kind of things would you be looking for in a school?
Yeah, I think one school that play in one of the best conference in the United, because they are the best school and the best player. So I can be can improve for sure. I can be a better player, and that's one of the best things. Even the coach that want me for playing for help his team to win, and not to sit on the bench, but for play, and I want to play, and I want to improve with the game, with the experience, with everything. So I think these are the two best things that I'm looking for. And college can be a big college or not, but I want to play in a college that play in a good conference with the best college in the United States. So that's what I look for.
And how much college basketball do you watch?
Yeah, I saw because here in Italy I can see every game, but I see the tournament for sure. Sometimes they give the tournament, the NCAA tournament, and I saw sometimes some games, even the final for sure, and like very much the style of the game, so like very much.
You know, when you're
talking about, you know, growing up in Bologna, I imagine some of those guys were pretty sort of important or, you know, meaningful. Maybe talk about, you know, who were some of your role models in the game growing up? You know, who were some of the guys that you looked up to when you were, you know, still, you know, when you were younger and just starting in the game?
Can you repeat, please?
Who are some of your role models in the game?
Role model?
Yeah, like idols, some of the players you looked up to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My father was one of my idols, for sure. Like a girl, but I liked very much even Ginobili, so... even him, like a player, because I like he's very smart. He's know everything on court. He see everything on court, and even if he's not too much physical, he's a guard, 1.95 meters of player, and. Not bigger, very, very big. So he can do everything. He can do everything, and I like very much. And even my father, like I saw him in the DVD or so everywhere, and I see maybe something of me and. And my father and I are very, very similar, like a guard. We are both shooter, and they are my two idols in Europe. But in NBA, as my idol is Steph Curry, and that's it.
Maybe just goals now. What kind of goals do you have? Let's say for the next 3 to 5 years, what goals do you have?
Yeah, for sure, be the best player can I be? I don't know. I for sure play in the first league in Italy or play in the one of the best college in the USA. And play EuroLeague or play in NBA because I want to be the best player that can be. So if myself, my best version of myself is playing in EuroLeague, it's a dream for me, playing in the best level on Europe. Or in the best level in the United States, and I'm working on to play in the highest level in wherever I could play.
All right, with that I will let you go, Davide Moratti. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Good luck. This season in Treviso.
Yeah. Thank you too much for your interview, for your time. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nice young kid. I think a pretty bright future. Wish he was a little bit bigger, but just a phenomenal shooter. And I think he'll be a good player for a long time. And I'm writing up the. Writing up a piece for High News. I have a piece on that sort of accompanying the show, if you will. And then so you can read it in a different format if you want to hear it, if you want to read it as well, get to check it out there. Okay, so yeah, if you were looking forward to the EuroLeague, you'll be able to catch that tonight. And that's the start of the season. Pretty excited about that. Should be a fun season. The only other thing, obviously, need to let you know is what you're going to be listening to. The song's called Oh No, and it's by Monarques. And it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it.
Yes, till we speak again.
I'm not the man that I once was. Turned around, saw the light, never to return. Oh no.
Charge.